our BLR Nation. How are you doing? You are doing well. It's another great week of USF Athletics. If you hear that sound, you are listening to the RBLR Bulls show. We're going to be talking all about it. You know, there was a lot that happened this past week. Women's basketball, men's basketball, the football team, not great. But we'll get to all of it, including the volleyball team, as well as some tennis. We'll talk about that as well because, hey, we're all things USF Athletics here. We do not discriminate anything USF sports related. We're going to be talking about it. But Mr. Musab Tariq is my wonderful co-host, and I can't go any further without introducing him. How are you doing tonight, Musab?
So far, so good. Obviously, you know, it's a new week and, you know, kind of different vibe, you know, from before. Yeah. Just for a variety of reasons, you know, the football loss, soccer season's over. So at least basketball season's though has started. So some wins and losses from there as well. So overall though, I'm just, you know, kind of excited just to be part of, you know, part of the action. And, you know, again, to be, you know, talking about some USF athletics with you.
Heck yeah, man. I'm always excited. The men's basketball game was attended last week by John Gruden, the Coppin State game. I was at that game as well. If you squint really hard, you can see me in the video in the background that he took of the action. But they dominated Coppin State, and they take on Oklahoma State University tonight. We'll get more in depth there near the end of our show. First, we got to start with the big one. And unfortunately, it's the bad. It's not great. They took a fat L to Navy. It was close, 41-38, but man, they gave up just so much yardage on the ground. Over 300 yards rushing for Navy, over 500 yards of total offense. What more is there to say really about this defense? I don't know, man. Was there any good, or was it kind of just all bad and ugly, Musab? I don't know. I felt pretty crappy watching that.
For the most part, I mean, from the start, you know, I started feeling real crappy. I feel like that's where, you know, looking back at it, where it really hurt us. You know, the biggest thing that I was looking at was, you know, to prevent any sort of chunk plays from happening. And that's exactly what they did, basically, like kind of back to back, you know, in the beginning and the first quarter. But, you know, they just, it's not like, you know, it was, you know, we knew everything that was coming our way. It's just, you know, we lost the edge, especially the pass game was just, or the pass game defense just wasn't there at all. There were definitely some good things, you know, to take away, you know, shout out Byron Brown for keeping us alive. But, you know, just the kind of, you know, the early control that Navy had, the situational execution. And then I think the part that hurt me the most was seeing their backup just cook us up like that, you know, in the fourth quarter. I mean, kids got wheels, but I just wasn't expecting that. But you know what? Then again, I didn't see it coming, but USF should have seen that coming because he did something pretty similar against Notre Dame. So if he's doing something like that against Notre Dame, you better be looking out for that when he's on the field. So just lack of execution. I know, you know, Alex Golesh was being interviewed and he was saying that, you know, this was our game to win and he takes fault for it. But it just sucks just because this was our second chance, you know, to be part of the college football playoff action. And unfortunately we blew it.
Yeah. Blew it with a capital B. It's definitely tough to see. Braxton Woodson, man, like Navy's got a good team. I know people kind of, you know, thumb their noses at the service academies and, you know, make little jokes. And I don't know if you saw this, but Amer, one of the backup linebackers, the special teamers, had that weird fake salute celebration. And then to turn around and lose, like, first of all, it's pretty darn tacky to do it to begin with, but to do it in a losing effort, it's like, all right, man, like, congratulations. Like, you're officially one of the biggest losers in college football. I don't know, man, that was pretty gross. Shuler also had a weird celebration in the fourth quarter after they had already had 300 rushing yards hung up on them. It was just like a lot of weird stuff, a lot of undisciplined play. Because that's the thing when you play Navy, like you said, you know what they're doing. Like, they're running the football. They run the option and they threw the football quite a bit, you know, over 150 yards passing. I think they ended up with like over 180. And, you know, so they mix in a little bit, but for the most part, they dominate on the run game and they did just that. And that's a discipline thing. That's an effort thing. That's a focus thing. Navy's a good football team, but USF had enough talent to where if they had played the right way and they hadn't just played like a bunch of nincompoops, then they would have been able to get their stuff together, you know, for all the marbles here. And they really failed, because yeah, now it's an incredible long shot, to make the college football program, to make the college football playoffs. They have to have like a million things go their way. And it's just not going to happen. Unfortunately, it's just very, very, very unlikely. So in my mind, this was the biggest loss in program history because just so much on the line, and man, they really fell flat, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But what about you, Musab? I mean, we've both grown up, you know, green and gold, USF all the way. So to my mind, this is the biggest loss, maybe in athletics history, but especially football. But what are your thoughts on that?
This was definitely up there. I think the biggest loss, you know, and for me at least, definitely, just, you know, we're sitting in the AAC contention, you know, part of the playoffs, you know, the playoff talk, and then, you know, we kind of, you know, just crap the bet against Navy, and it just, I don't know, it's just the fact that, you know, we were able to catch up too. You know, I think there were some positives to take away. I mean, we took off, especially in the fourth quarter, but then again, so did they. But no, man, this was tough, dude. And I think it just makes me wonder, you know, if we're ever going to get, you know, a shot like this again. I mean, are we going to see a team like this again, especially with, you know, things like NIL going on and
right.
Just so close yet so far, you know, and it's just like, you know, we're already USF as a program or the American Athletic, Carter, you know, obviously doesn't get the respect as the Big Ten or Big 12 SEC do. So it's just like, you know, if you're a recruit, you know, you're seeing this, the USF, just when USF thought, you know, they were going to be relevant amongst the nation, they aren't now. So, yeah, you know, we're not even the best, American Athletic team right now. So it's like. Not makes you think, you know, why would the talent want to come here? Not that I'm trying to, you know, poop on our own USF football team and recruiting situation, but it's just like, you know,
no, it's real.
We're, you know, this is how you build the name, but just tough.
Yeah, they had a chance to go from like, hey, a nice little story, like they had a nice start. And don't get me wrong, this is still a very good USF season. There's a lot of good that you can take from this, but it's still in that context of an American conference good. You know what I mean? Like it's good for the American conference, like, oh, good for USF. It wasn't just like a good season. And I think that's something that gets a little bit lost in the conversations because I've seen a lot of folks like calling for Alex Golish's head and all that stuff. And it's a hard line to walk because on the one hand, USF does not get here without Alex Golish. On the other hand, who cares? You know, like I hate to be like, you know, so Debbie Downer, but like a 9-3 season in the American Conference with how much money they've poured into this program. Like, yeah, you better win 9 games with that. You know, I don't know. They had the chance to turn this program into something potentially really special. And instead, like, I don't know about you, but I'm not nearly as concerned about if Alex Golish walks out of the door. Like there's all the Oklahoma State rumors. I don't know if you feel the same way. What are your thoughts on him potentially leaving USF and versus before the game versus after the game? What are your thoughts on him as a head coach?
No, I don't think he'll be leaving. It's just, you know, to leave an institution like this, you know, you would have to kind of have the performance that what's his name, Kurt Cignetti had at JMU before he went to Indiana. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You had to have an iconic year to kind of move up the ranks. So not that he, you know, can't take any job like that, but it's just, you know, it's not like, you know, you have the resume to be like, you know, I made this happen. You know, USF succeeded because of me. Well, USF lost his two most important games, you know, not only just because of you. I'm not just trying to blame it on him, but also, I have to say, I did read, you know, kind of the little preview article they had for USF and UAB, and it sounded like Golish was basically saying, you know, we're gonna, you know, keep expectations just as high as they are right now for next year as well. So, I'm not getting any hints, really, to be honest, that he would be going elsewhere. There's always gonna be rumors,
of course. Yeah, and there is a weird OSU podcast that said that he interviewed there, and then he was asked pretty directly by the Oracle, shout out USF Journalism, that he was asked pretty directly, like, hey, man, what's going on? And he was like, no, didn't take any interviews. Or he said, I did not meet with them, which other people were kind of like, oh, but the agent didn't meet with them, which, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of reading between the lines there. I don't know if I'll get right into that. I wouldn't put it past any NFL or any college football or NFL coach. We saw this with Liam Cohen being a little slimy about, you know, answering questions like that. But at the same time, you want to give a guy the benefit of the doubt. Like it would be kind of tough to put that on him. But I don't know. We'll see how it develops. But like you said, they're taking on University of Alabama, Birmingham this week. Kind of deflating, but also UAB, they fired Trent Dilfer. Sorry. They have Jalen Kitna as their quarterback, which we'll get into. So they've got an interim head coach. They got blown out by UNT. They lost to Rice, but they also beat Memphis. So there's kind of some interesting back and forth there. Is there a chance that USF comes out flat after such a just bummer of a loss? Like, their season's not over, obviously, but like, you know, they're essentially playing for maybe a potentially better bowl, which, like, how much is there really to increase your bowl odds? So what are your thoughts on USF potentially coming out flat this weekend?
I don't think there's really any potential. I feel like, you know, you want to, yeah, at this point, from any perspective, you want to make the best outcome happen, which is a better bowl game. Sure. For example, you know, I know we've seen some talks of them being part of the Gasparilla Bowl. Right. The only thing that kind of excites me is I did see it, Gasparilla Bowl. It was a prediction between USF versus FSU, which I would actually be pretty down to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine they'd be coming out flat. You know, they should be firing on all cylinders. You know, then again, anything can happen. You know, UAB beat Memphis and we lost to Memphis. So,
right. Yeah.
if you calculate it like that, I mean, this should be, yeah, we should be scared, but on the real though. No. This is just another game. This is a bounce back game. Fire everyone up. You want to finish this, you know, the season strong. I think, you know, again, reading from that, you know, kind of little preview article, it seems that, you know, some of the guys have kind of just, you know, moved on, accepted it. You know, obviously it was a tough L, of course, but, you know, you got to go on to the next one. It's not going to help, you know, kind of sitting back and mourning about that loss or anything. So there's still a statement to be made. Just imagine if we just crumble, you know what I'm saying? I don't want these goalless talks are going to be extinct, you know, if we, even if we just scrape by UAB, you know what I'm saying? So, we got to come out hard. What are you thinking though? Do you think there's any chance?
Not really. UAB is pretty bad. I think it would take kind of a lot for USF to lose this game. But you know, they're not, Like we keep saying, they're not playing for a whole lot other than maybe pride and a slightly, like we keep saying, slightly better bowl game, the Gasparilla Bowl, you know, whatever. And it would be nice to finish a season 9-3. Like, that doesn't happen too often for USF, so that'd be kind of cool. But I don't know. I'm not really expecting them to lose this game. I would expect them to win relatively handily. Hopefully they're coming out angry because they're frustrated that they just kind of, you know, wasted their season away with a very poor effort defensively, especially. So, you know, maybe the defense comes out firing. But yeah, we'll see. Definitely a game to watch in the background, maybe if you're watching another more important game. But I don't know. We'll get some key players though for UAB because you know, they've got some D1 caliber players. Their quarterback is Jalen Kitna, former UF QB, son of John Kitna. Kind of a strange fellow, but he has 2,000 passing yards. Not a very mobile guy. So certainly wouldn't describe him as a dual threat type of dude. 11 touchdowns to 7 picks. Kitna is kind of going to be their starting quarterback. At least he's been the last few weeks. We got Javon Jackson. He's their leading running back. He's got almost 6 yards per carry. He's kind of an interesting guy. He'll be someone to watch for. And Iverson Hooks is kind of their leading wide receiver. Got over 700 receiving yards, 13 yards per catch. He's a bit of a speedy guy because he's only 5'10". He doesn't exactly do it the same way Keyshawn Singleton does. But anybody else on UAB that you're looking out for, Mr. Tariq?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just gonna say, if not, Iverson Hooks, racking up yards. I'm looking at Brandon Hawkins Jr. Just because he racked up 89 and 129 yards against UConn and UNT. So I just feel like it's kind of like the 1-2 punch. If we got Hooks locked down, then I expect Hawkins to be looked at. So those are the two guys, at least on the offensive side that I'm looking at. Makes me feel good, to know that Jalen Kitna is not a mobile quarterback. And yeah, checking the stats out and all that. I was like, oh, this is different.
Yes.
this isn't Blake Corvette.
Right.
So no, but on the what I want to know though is on the defensive side, is there anyone that you're worried about? I kind of had a hard time finding anyone very impactful. I just feel like it's kind of spread around.
Yeah, I mean, with these American Conference teams, especially unfortunately the lower levels like the UABs, the Rices, and the Charlottes of the world, their defenses are going to be pretty rough. So yeah, Chris Burge is their leading sack guy with two. They're not exactly getting after the quarterback. He's a freshman as well. And then Tamarian Crumpley is their leading pass breakup guy. He's their kind of their top corner, I guess you could call it that. So yeah, their defense definitely is going to struggle a little bit, especially against USF, because USF, while they gave up 41 points against Navy, they also scored 38. They've scored 50 plus points against teams like Charlotte and UNT. So they've got some firepower on that offense, and I fully expect them to kind of flex those muscles, because a lot of those offensive guys, even if they're not necessarily playing for this season, maybe they're not necessarily playing for USF to make the CFP, they're still auditioning. The good news with the NIL stuff, I know it can be kind of gross, but it means that these games still count for individuals. You want to put your best effort out there and potentially get yourself some tape for when you're trying to get paid in the off season. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's how USF views it, and these players rise to the occasion and take care of business against UAB. So that's this weekend's football game. And we'll see how it goes. And yeah, but moving on to the basketball, we want to start with the men's basketball because they had a massive W against Coppin State last week. I had the privilege of being at that game, 100 to 50. It was a blowout by the first end of the first half. It was really, really impressive stuff. Pinion, not Bradley Pinion, but his cousin, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. He was lighting it up from deep. He had back-to-back 24 point performances, and he earned AAC Player of the Week. They also took a W against Kennesaw State. I believe it was on Sunday. So yeah, USF men's basketball playing really well this past week. Obviously, the opponents weren't, top notch or anything. But tonight, Oklahoma State, man, on the road in Stillwater, should be a really fun game. I don't know if USF will be able to pull out a W, but what are your thoughts on USF shot? Like, what's OSU got going for him?
Yeah, this is going to be a good test just because yeah, we haven't we've both faced different competition, and obviously we're still in the beginning of the season, so there's only so much we know about our own team, but about Oklahoma State as well. But the thing that I'm really looking at is, if anything, kind of their three players from Miller to Parsifala and then Kanye Cleary. So just those three guys, but especially Miller, he's like a 3-point sniper out there. But then again, I mean, yeah, I expect Pinion to have another big game. But the thing that I'm looking at though is probably that I noticed was how many offensive rebounds Oklahoma State has ended up getting against their opponents in the past. And that's probably one thing that I'm looking at, is if we're going to want to keep this close, we got to watch for those, kind of second chance offensive rebounds, prevent that from happening. But I don't know, where's your head at with this? Is there anything that you're looking at, concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, Victorious Miller, like you said, he's really outstanding. He's going to be someone to watch, especially on the perimeter. But yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, hitting the boards for sure. Because Isaiah Nelson for USF, he had a really impressive game against Coppin State. I thought he was the best player on the floor. I know Pinion was drilling stuff from 3-point range, and he got the kind of the all the attention, and rightfully so, like outstanding performance from him. But Nelson was making such an impact on the defensive end. I think the stat sheet had like 2 blocks and a steal. I can't remember the exact numbers, but he had some impressive numbers. But I think his presence was even more important. And hopefully he's able to, you know, he's kind of their center, quote unquote. He's listed as a forward on the website, but he's their big man. And at 6'10", hopefully he'll be able to do his thing, especially against Fala, because, you know, Fala's also 6'10". He's a big dude. Got an awesome mustache, by the way. He's their leading rebounder. He's from Iran. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I'm not expecting them to win against Oklahoma State, but I definitely think that if they're able to put up a good fight, that would be really, really fun. So, yeah, that's the men's basketball update for the week. They've got a really important season ahead of them. They're still in the non-conference portion of their schedule. Once they get into conference play, that's really going to be when things start to ratchet up, especially the importance of these games really rises. Against Oklahoma State, like, it's a fun little tape measure game, you know, see where they're at against a really competent opponent, against a really good opponent. But the importance of this game is not nearly as big as some of the games down the road. But speaking of a really big game, women's basketball took a loss to Fairfield, unfortunately. Fairfield, wow, they're a lot better than I thought. They also took an L against UCLA, but UCLA, number 3 team in the nation. The 94-61 final score is a bit disturbing, but you know, that's how it be sometimes. But let's focus on the Fairfield game first, because UCLA, I think we can kind of flush out down the toilet. Did you have any thoughts after the Fairfield game? Like, do you think that was kind of an area of concern, or is Fairfield really that good?
No, I think Fairfield is good. I mean, they've got their respect, you know, in the ranks as well. They're just outside the top 25, at least as of last week. But, you know, if anything, I just think that, you know, we were able to keep it close, but, you know, just kind of sloppy play, kind of, you know, killed the late possessions. I feel like, you know, Fairfield had a lot of, you know, transition points. And on top of that, I just think that, you know, they were able to kind of just, you know, attack us way more. I mean, the free throw mismatch was definitely there as well. So those kind of small little things, I mean, you know, being that it was a dogfight overall, I mean, that's how kind of Fairfield ended up getting the win. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of more, I think this was more about kind of, you know, some play calling, fixing, maybe some, you know, not coaching adjustments, but it wasn't because of the talent, you know, at least for this game. But the next game was a little different.
Yeah. I mean, playing against a team like UCLA is so tough. You know, there's only so much you can do. It's really tough to put up a fight against a team like that. 'Cause UCLA, I mean, number 3 in the nation, you know, that's how it's going to be sometimes. But yeah, I like that you brought up the coaching, 'cause Michelle Woods Baxter, the new coach, taking over for Jose Fernandez. You know, it's tough to adjust to that, you know, especially since it was so close to the beginning of the season when that happened. It's really hard to kind of make that adjustment on the fly to a new coach. So hopefully that's something that can be kind of ironed out, like you said. But playing Duke, that's their next opponent. Do you have any thoughts on their Duke opponent? I know they were the number 2 seed in the ACC tournament last year, or they were a 2 seed in the Final Four, I believe. So hopefully, you know, it might be another tough one, maybe not quite UCLA level, but Duke's definitely pretty good. Do you have any other thoughts on their women's basketball team and how USF matches up against them?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough one, man, for sure. But I'm just expecting our stars to, you know, have a good game. I think that's what I'm looking at is, you know, kind of same thing, you know, with the UCLA match, kind of just, you know, how do our best players look against, you know, the best of the best. So, you know, first of all, starting with Eden Battle, I mean, you know, she just reached her career high of 1,500 points. So, you know, of course, you know, all eyes are on her. But same thing with Lore and Putu. You know, looking at her to kind of be a rebound engine against Duke. And then Steph Ingram and Katie Davidson, I mean, kind of just, you know, catch and shoot, you know, locking down on defense. So, but I don't know. This is going to be it's just going to be another really good kind of indicator as to where we stand. I'm kind of excited that we're playing some tough competition at the beginning of the season. That way, you know, once, you know, we start playing our American Athletic, you know, opponents, you know, we'll be warmed up and all that. So I don't know, though, man. This one's going to be a tough one. I'm going to have to say, I mean, I do think that, you know, of course, Duke ends up winning, but just how close can we keep it is, you know, the real question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I mean, they were really great last year. They haven't been as good out of the gate. They took the loss to West Virginia, who's ranked in the top 25. No shame in that. But, you know, they kept it close against South Carolina last year. South Carolina, obviously, kind of the big name school in terms of women's basketball. They only lost by four in the quarterfinals last year.
Well, they actually play each other after the USF game. So maybe one little thing to think about. I don't know if this is a fact or anything, but, you know, perhaps maybe they're not going full throttle on USF. Maybe,
hey.
Maybe they don't need to, you know, maybe they're already, you know, balling out and all that. They're already up by 30, you know, points or something in the second half. So, you know, just some food for thought. Cause I did actually just realize that shortly before our podcast that, yeah, Duke's got South Carolina next on their schedule. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely one of those things. Could they be overlooking USF? Like, absolutely. But yeah, unfortunately, like we've been saying, there's the ESPN app has them as a 97.5% chance for Duke to take the victory home in this one. So it's a tough matchup. But like you said, USF has a lot of conference games scheduled ahead of this. This is just more of a ramp up, like you said, kind of similar to the OSU game, more of a measuring stick game. I love that USF is willing to schedule these tough opponents across sports, you know, men's basketball, women's basketball, football. They've been willing to try to play with the big boys and or the big dogs, rather. And that's been really important. That's been huge for them. So, yeah, it's just something to watch. And I'm excited for it, you know, because regardless of how they play against Duke, they've got bigger aspirations. They've got other things to worry about. Like we keep saying, these are just kind of tune-up games for the conference play. So exciting to watch, though, and we'll definitely be watching the men's basketball game tonight, and the women's basketball game, I believe, is tomorrow against Duke. So that's something to watch for sure. But the volleyball team, they had themselves quite a weekend. You want to give us what you got on the volleyball team this past weekend, Mr. McPherson?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, our volleyball team has finished their regular season with the 3-1 win this past weekend against UTSA. It was also senior day, so it made things a little bit more special. And USF finishes off the regular season at number two in the ranks for the American Athletic Conference. So it is now time for the American Athletic Conference tournament, and we will be playing Charlotte, the 7th seed, at home, of course, as the tournament's here in Tampa. So we're going to be playing them this Friday. The good news, or at least some things to, you know, feel optimistic about this game, is that we've already beat them twice this season, 3-0 and 3-1. So fingers crossed, you know, we get a little hat trick kind of win situation going on, and, you know, we go into the next round. But I've been, you know, just kind of excited. I feel like this has been the hottest kind of, you know, fall team. You know, nothing against our football team or our soccer teams, but I don't know, man. You know, I have to say, I know, I forget who's above them. I think it's Tulsa who's number one right now, but anyways, it should be fun though. But hey, I'll tell you this, anything can happen, because I think the number 7 seed in women's soccer beat the 2nd seed, which was our USF women's soccer team, who was number 7. So, you know, sometimes these ranks don't matter. I mean, the American Athletic Conference has gotten so juicy. I don't know, maybe it's just me or something, but yeah, I could go. Oh, I go on and on, but I'll stop right there. So you know, just wait a couple of days and, you know, let the volleyball action begin. Definitely nice knowing that the tournament's happening here in Tampa. So I imagine tickets are quite affordable. Definitely do check that out. But one other thing that, you know, kind of caught my eye, I know we haven't discussed it before, Carter, and that is tennis.
Heck yeah. Let's do it.
So why? It's just because, you know, as a USF enthusiast, I, you know, like to make sure I stay up to date with our USF athletics. And I saw on the page that, you know, a gentleman by the name of Hugo Carr, ended up being in the NCAA tournament. And then the next article I looked to my left was informing me of the results. So, unfortunately, Hugo Carr lost in the first round, but he lost to last year's champ, Michael Zhang, who was professionally ranked, as we speak, at 185 in the whole world. So you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're playing a professional, you're playing the champ, and yeah, he lost 4-6, 2-6. It's all good. But the, you know, the kind of historic part of this, and you know, the really kind of nice thing to kind of, you know, hear about was Hugo Caro was the first bull to travel, you know, to an NCAA singles championship in over 20 years. Hugo Caro also was a legend in the JUCO world. He actually won a title in the, you know, NCAA junior college, you know, championship. So just some, you know, just something nice just to kind of see, you know, USF is, you know, kind of, you know, putting their name out there in every sport, you know. So shout out Hugo Caro, and, you know, perhaps, you know, he'll go farther next year.
Yeah. And in case people have not heard of Hugo Caro, myself being one of them, he is actually French. So shout out to him. He graduated from high school in France, and then he went to Eastern Florida State College. That's where he played some JUCO stuff and had so much success there. But he was also the 2025 American Conference Player of the Year in tennis, also made the singles all-conference team and the doubles all-conference team. So, yeah, heck of a season for Hugo Caro. Really exciting stuff. So, yeah, he's definitely a name to watch. I don't know of his professional aspirations. I don't know if we're going to be talking about this guy on the French tour or anything. But, yeah, some really fun stuff, man. I'm glad you pointed us in the right direction there. Glad you brought him into the spotlight, because that's cool, man. He had a heck of a season and represented USF well. You know, he had a great year. So some fun stuff there for sure. We're nearing the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in, though. Regardless of the results of the various athletic programs, there's a lot going on this week with men's, women's basketball, football, volleyball. Regardless of the results of all that, we'll be back next week to talk all about it. And, you know, whether it's good, bad, or somewhere in between, we'll be here. So definitely stay tuned. Hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Bulls or at RBLR Sports to check out all of our offerings. We have some great stuff across our channel. So definitely check us out. And thank you to my co-host, Musab Tariq, for making my job incredibly easy. We'll see y'all next week. So until then, and as always, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.